Well, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about living our faith to the limit and giving it all that we've got in our faith, and not only knowing that Christ is our Savior, but being generous in the way that we share the good news with other people. And we've talked about Micah 6:8, how God has called us to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before Him. And we believe that biblical justice begins with having a right relationship with God and having a right relationship with the people around us. And we see how Jesus modeled the ministry of Micah 6:8 throughout his time here on earth and really throughout eternity. In Luke 4:18 and 19, Jesus says that he came to bring good news and freedom and healing and to declare the season or the age of God's unlimited merit or unlimited favor. And we experience that through faith in Christ. You may remember that a couple of weeks ago, Mindy Hawking, one of our international workers, talked about 2 Corinthians 10:15. And she read, "Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you." See, God has done good work in our lives individually. He's doing good work in our community, and he's doing good things around the world because of who Christ is and how the Holy Spirit leads others to take the good news to far-off places. And over the next coming weeks, I want to talk about what it means for us to have impact. Impact near and far, impact here and there, having impact in our neighborhoods and our nations. And so we're going to kind of look at some of the ministry partnerships that we have locally, and we've heard of things that are going on globally, and we have some great reports from people coming up in the weeks to come. And this morning, we've invited Phil Prieto to give us what God has been saying to him about his heart for broken and lost people like us, who are growing in their relationship with Jesus. And Phil, why don't you come on up, and I want to pray for you. We've been in partnership with Phil for over a decade. When we first got to know him, we didn't know his last name, and we called him Food Bank Phil because he was full of food. No, because Phil helped us early on in our ministry to get access to food supplies here in Thurston County. And because of the partnership that we have with Phil, we've become more effective in the things that God has called us to do. And so, Phil, we are glad you're here today. Amen. And we're excited to hear what God is doing through City Gates Ministries and what he has to say to us through you. So let me pray for you.
Praise God.
Jesus, I thank you for my friend Phil. And the way that you've allowed us to stand shoulder to shoulder here in the U.S., but also in our ministry partnership in the Middle East. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that Phil has shared with us. I thank you for the gifts that you've given to him. I pray that we would hear clearly what your Spirit has to say today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tim. I'm really excited about this opportunity. Mainly because of the history that we've had together in this church. I mean, Tim's right, a decade. I can't even begin to understand that God has allowed me to do this for 25 years. And it has been a journey. And today, you know what? I want to share the journey that most people don't hear. Because there are so many good things that have happened in this ministry and in this church. I mean, I look at, I think, you know, Tim was doing some seeds one year, planting seeds, and that was a theme. They were, are you still doing that?
Seeds of hope.
Seeds of hope. And when he approached me about seeds, it just happened to be that someone donated a whole bunch of seeds to City Gates Ministries that we were able to donate to Pastor Tim and the team here to plant. And I thought, you know, what if every single seed represented a soul? You know, and that soul was planted and it germinated and it produced more fruit. And look where we're at. You know, all the bees that are pollinating right now, what if every single bee represented a soul? And I look at the ministries as they evolved, you know, what Jackie is doing and how your food bank has grown from what it used to be. And all the food that Kathy grows out of her little garden and all these things that God has evolved through the years to produce so much stuff, it's been a toil. And today I want to speak from a toil. I want to speak from 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. And this is about the widow and the oil. If we remember this, this is when the widow comes to Elijah for a need because her husband had died and left a debt, and the creditor was coming after her. And back then, apparently, they could take your kids and, you know, make them slaves until that debt was paid. So she was in dire straits. She was hurting. And the ministry that we have been in has not always been easy. And I want to share that piece of that with you. And I hope and pray that I can share it effectively. And at the same time, bring in the blessings that God gives us when we're faithful in honoring our position in Him. Because each and every one of us has a position in Christ. And our position is significant to help others in need. And not only that, produce wealth for ourselves in doing so. Amen? So before we get started, I just want to pray for the word today. Father God, thank you that we can come before you and we can just speak from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And out of it, the living word produces life in every single one of us. We are all unique and special in every single way. And this word, I pray, will seed those that will hear it, that your word never returns void. So today, Father God, we thank you in advance for what this will do to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I am going to go ahead and read the passage, and then we'll tear it apart from there. How's that sound? Okay? Okay. So 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. If you have your Bibles, I don't know what page it's on. It was on my phone, so I just copied it. But if you do have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. It starts out this way. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys and his slaves." Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "And your servant has nothing." "There's nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it into one side." And she left him and shut the door behind her. And her sons, they brought the jars to her, and they kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her sons, "Bring me one more." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, for you and your sons can live on what is left." Man, there's a lot here in this story. In the days of Elijah and Elijah in Israel, the prophets of God gathered a group of God workers. They were called the sons of the prophets, and one of these sons had died. And like I said, this person that died was one of the sons of the prophets for Elijah. And when he died, he left a debt, and the creditor is coming after this debt. And I want to take this story today and use it as an application to our own lives and our own ministries. Because although we are in places in our life presently Each and every one of us are dealing with something. I always tell people we have two things in common, you and I. One, every single one of us, no matter how well off we are, have needs. Would you agree? We all have needs. And number two, God has designed us to be able to help people in need. We all want to help somebody who's in need. I hope. If you're here and you don't want to help anybody, raise your hand. Gotcha. And I want to take this story today and use it as an application to our own lives and our own ministries. And look at these for our own needs. There are five areas that we're gonna look at, five words we're going to dissect today. Number one, circumstances. Two, we'll go into enough. Three, response. And four, results. Actually, four places we're going to do, okay? I was going to add one, but I said, nah, I'll be here all day. Our first area is circumstances. And God wants to be included in our circumstances. In 2 Kings, the first verse, and four, the wife of a man from a company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he's out of Elijah. Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know he revered the Lord, but now his creditors come in to take my two boys as slaves." Scary place to be. Here, this wife just lost her husband. She probably doesn't have any way of creating any kind of income because she depended upon him. And not only is she feeling the hurt and the pain of her husband being gone, now a creditor is threatening to take her children. What's interesting about this, though, is God wants to be included in our circumstances. And in this, our needs are never unknown to God. One of the lessons of the passage is that regardless of how we are or the times in which we live and the problems we face, there is no problem or need which God cannot meet if we simply trust and obey Him, come to Him. God cares for all our needs, wherever we're at. In 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, we are reminded that humbling yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So the real issue is not the problem, but in the response to the Lord in the face of our problems. It's so important that we respond to God in our problems. Bring these things forward. Most of the time, it's trusting Him for things we don't even understand. You know, isn't it interesting that God fixes things that don't make sense? You know, He does things that don't make sense. When we turn to Him, things happen that don't make sense. I remember my wife and I deciding to quit a job to go into ministry. And the job I had was a great job. It created a portfolio that would have, well, actually, I would have retired 2 years ago had I stayed in that job. We were talking about that. But instead, we picked this crazy route to do ministry. And I quit this job. And I was looking at my, you know, I'm. They're sending me things for Social Security now. I know. That's scary. You look at that, but they're sending me things that are showing, you know, here's what you're going to be making when you collect your Social Security. And I'm looking at the dates of all the years that I was employed, and there's 2 years there that have zeros. And I'm asking Val, what's this? 2 years I didn't make any income. She says, yeah. I said, when was that? Well, those were the 2 years you quit your job to do ministry. And I'm thinking there was no income coming in at all. She says, no, none. And I look at that today. Because for me, in that place where we were at, we had kids that were going to school. We had a mortgage. We had responsibilities. And 25 years later, I look at where we are today. My kids have all gone to college, something that I was never able to do. My daughter's up this weekend. She's just got her master's in psychology. I told her, you can't use that stuff on me. She said, Dad, I've been using it on you for years. So, but when I look at these things, when I look at what God has taken us through, 2 years with no income, how did we survive? How did that happen? And the miracles of God are in what we trust in. And we trusted in God during that season that He would bring us through. And today, thank God, I'm still, you know, we beat homelessness right now, which is a good thing. Which is a good thing, especially with the ministry. You know, our objectives this year in ministry is to keep homelessness from escalating. And last year, we were able to help over 1,900 families from becoming homeless with the resources that come into the ministry. And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, man, you know what? Had I not done this, who would have gotten the blessing of being able to say that? Amen? It's a stretch. Philippians 4 and 4:9, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice twice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. God will always use others to supply our needs. Do you know that? None of us are where we are today because of what we did. Every single one of us are where we are today because somebody helped you. Somebody came alongside you. Through her appeal here was ultimately to the Lord. She sought help through Elijah. And God usually meets people's needs of His people through people, especially ministering to other believers. That we have such a caring responsibility to one another is one of the greatest themes in the New Testament. But this especially draws attention to our need to be more involved in the needs of those in our personal care and in our ministries. We are a family. We are a unit. And it's when we come with our needs and bring them to our family, bring them to the church, that the church is able to extend grace and a helping hand. Amen? In the beginning of the ministry, I brought a homeless man to church. And I was embarrassed to bring this man to church because he was pretty raggy. He had long hair and a beard and about 3 months' worth of food that was stuck in his beard, and he didn't smell too good. And I was going to a church at that time that in that season, that year, it was like around 98 or 2000, we were just getting started. Churches didn't like these people. They didn't allow them to come to church. I mean, that was just the, you know, if you didn't dress right, you weren't welcome. And that's just the way it was back then. It's changing, thank God. But I brought this man to church, and me, I always sit up in the front because I don't like people taller than me in front of me. And the only one shorter than me here is Jackie. So so I went up and I sat in front. And when I sat down, I pulled over to a seat to have this man sit next to me, and this man chose to sit in the aisle. And I looked at him and I said, oh no, that's not good. You know, they'll come out and they'll walk him out of here. So I got up and I sat in the aisle with him. And we did church together that day. And I gotta tell you that day was the beginning of City Gates Ministries. Because had I not brought that man, you know, we work on two things. We work on spiritual discernment and we work on emotion. And God will give us spiritual discernment first, all the time. It's if we follow it that wins grace in God's eyes. But most of us won't follow it because emotion sneaks in right behind it. So this man, I said, let's go to church. And my emotion says, don't bring him. And had I not brought him, the church wouldn't have talked about this man for the next 3 years and wanted to Phil, what do you need? What are you doing? This was amazing. Everybody witnessed this man because we were in the front, in the middle of the aisle, doing church. And after church, Phil, what are you doing? Well, I'm just going down to the transit center with, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Jesus tracks. And I don't really like what I'm doing. I mean, it's not any fun. I keep asking my wife to just not make any more so I don't have to go down. But she keeps making these peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I got to go down and give them away. And, personally, I don't even like these people. But the church says, well, hey, Phil, can I go with you? Yeah, you can come. And so people started coming. Phil, these people need socks. So they brought socks. More people would come. They need coats. They brought coats. They need this and that. And pretty soon my little Astro van's filled with totes full of needs for these people. And the ministry evolved. Today, we have a fleet of trucks that go out to the street every Thursday night. We minister the gospel of Jesus Christ on a loudspeaker in the middle of the city. And I think about where we started in my complaining. And I'm wondering, Lord, had I stopped? Had I followed the emotion rather than the discernment? What would have happened? Because right now, man, over 200 people are fed every single week on the street, and they get to hear a message from the gospel of Jesus Christ on a loudspeaker in the middle of the city. And you know what's so unique about that? Is that I've never been told that I can't do it. Never has the city come up to me and say, hey, you know what? Can't do that. I believe that God has given us the keys to the city. And I believe in that. We should take the city in charge because God has given us favor in the city. Do you realize last year I'm on this lot on the corner of State and Adams, and they had the nerve to lease out the lot to a construction company, the owners of the lot, that is, and took away my ministry spot. How dare they? But they give it to me for free, and the construction company was probably paying $2,000 or $3,000 a month for their, equipment to be caged in my lot. And so we do an event every year. We collect shoes, and we bring the shoes down to the street, and we invite the churches to come down with their congregation and wash the feet of everybody that gets a pair of shoes. And because I didn't have my spot, I had to go to the city, and I had to ask the city, can we shut down this street? It was Adams Street, because I need to do this event. They said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to be giving a lot of shoes away. You're not selling them? Nope. In fact, I'm washing the feet of everybody that gets a pair of shoes. What? Yeah, I just need a permit so we can do our event on that street on Adams, so we can wash the feet of everybody that receives these shoes. And if you need a pair of shoes, come on down. You know what's awesome about this story? Is I got to tell everybody, and I get to tell you, the city of Olympia gave me the permits to close down the street to administer the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I don't know of any other place that washes feet but in the Bible. Favor. We had over 33 churches united together washing the feet of people that were receiving shoes. And we're going to do it again this year. We'll talk to you about that because we need shoes. Okay? Another time. The next place is enough. Enough. What you have is enough for God. Elijah replied to her in verse 2. How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of oil. Elijah said to the poor woman, what shall I do for you? What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? It's interesting that in most cases, when we are trying to accomplish something, we're lacking. And in this case, Elijah just wants to know, what do you have? What do you have? And the lady, she says, I don't have anything. A little jar of oil, you know? But what is the value of a little jar of olive oil? In those days, olive oil did a lot of things. And it may not have just been a little, but the fact of the matter is that Elijah took what she had and put it to use. God knows our needs before we ask. He has known them from the beginning of eternity. And if that's the case, why should we ask? If he already knows. But we ask because it's a place where we come to him for dependence. We ask because we want him to know, Lord, you have the availability to take care of my needs. It's a demonstration of our faith and demonstrates that it is he who ultimately meets our needs every time, every time. You know, it was interesting, and I just want to say thank you for your congregation and all the donations. When you do a blanket drive, holy smokes. What a blessing. And I got to tell you, the blankets that you donated this year, there's a story behind that, because we were not receiving blankets during the month of November, December. It was very low on our donation, and the servants that were loading up the trucks every Saturday morning, we have people come in and sort through all the clothes that are donated and load the trucks that go out on Thursday night, and they, Phil, we only have 3 blankets on the truck. I said, well, we need to pray. Need to pray, because I know that God will provision it. So we prayed. And it was an amazing thing, because I get the call, 2 calls actually, one from Sherry that says, we've done a blanket drive and you need to pick up the blankets. And when I got here, wow. You know, we always think that we have to go to the Big C Church for donations and stuff like that. Do you know what a Big C Church is, Pastor Tim? There's this thing going around right now about a Big C Church, and I'm not really sure what that is, but you know what? If it means the size of a church, I'll stick with this one. Because the amount of giving that comes through this church is incredible. But not only did the blankets from your ministry support the folks that go out to the street every Thursday and enable them to do what they do. I mean, they have a tool now that they can use to minister to those on the street. But I get a call from Value Village. Phil, I heard about your ministry. And we do these things that we want to help the community, and we just want to know how we can help. And I said, well, do you get blankets? She said, we get tons of blankets. So what, can I come just get some blankets? Value Village has been giving us blankets now for about 5 years. We average in the amount of anywhere from 2,000 to 2,500 blankets a year just coming from Value Village alone that go out to the street. God knows our needs. And if we ask and if we present those needs before him, he will supply. I'm reminded in Psalms 50:15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. It's a wonderful thing to come to realize that God is the master of circumstances, isn't he? He's the master of circumstances. And God is teaching us a lesson here. See, how little you have doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you wholly surrender what you have to him. That's so important for us in our ministries and what we do. It's amazing that everything that comes through City Gates Ministries is given away. Our furniture ministry last year gave away over 7,000 pieces of furniture that were donated from you, our community. And this isn't dumpy furniture. I mean, this stuff I'd put in my house. I had the attorney general call me earlier last year, and he says, Phil, I've got two American King mattresses that I want to donate to your ministry. I said, really? He says, yeah, I ordered them from Canada, and they bring them in these boxes. They take all the air out of them, and they bring them in these boxes, and when you cut the box open, bloop, you know, they're big. And he says, and these had a little something going on there, and he wanted to donate them. Well, I was working with a guy at that time. We were working with a guy that got saved on the street, and this guy was like real tall. And he was a meth addict that got clean, got saved, and God miraculously got him into housing about 3 weeks after he got saved. So this guy was just 3 weeks clean off meth. And he gets into housing, and the story was just beautiful story. Got a job. And I go to this place to get these mattresses, and we're putting these mattresses on the truck. I say, how much did you pay for these? He says, well, we paid $5,000 for these, and there's a little blemish here. Oh, yeah, you can't put that blemish is going to, you know, put a sheet on it. You'd never know, but Attorney General, he's got it. He can do it. But I'm taking this mattress and I'm carrying it into this guy's house, this new friend of mine that is clean off meth for 3 weeks and's got a new job. And I'm saying, you sure, Lord? You sure we need to do this? This is a $5,000 mattress. And I talked to this guy who is still clean and still working and doing just transformation. And he thanks me for his bed all the time because he says it's the first bed he's ever had where his feet weren't hanging off the edge. So that's awesome that God does. Our next word is response. When we make our needs known to God, out of our response, God responds. I'm going to say that again. When we make our needs known, out of our response, God responds. Elijah 3, Elijah commissions this lady to do something. He says, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour the oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it into one side. Now, two things here. One, he's having her go out with her need to ask for jars. And two, he's telling her to go inside, be alone. Your God is very communal. He wants to be in everybody's life. And he wants the fellowship of the body of Christ to be involved with your needs, with your life. But he also wants you and I to be silent, alone with him. Have peace with him. Elijah put the widow in a position to pay her debt and to maintain herself and her family. This was done by a miracle. But it also shows us the best method to assist those who are in distress is to help them to improve their life through their own faith. And what little faith they may have is tested. What will you do for yourself that I can partner with? If she had refused his request to collect the jars from her neighbors because of her belief, there would have been no jars to fill, would there? We are never separated from God. or in the riches of his grace, all our separation from God is in ourselves. It's our faith that fails, not his promise. He gives more than we ask. Were there more vessels to fill, he would have filled them, wouldn't he? And Elijah didn't say how many to get. He said, collect. These are awesome ways that you and I can inherit what Elijah is speaking here. In not only those that we are helping, but for the things that we seek out for ourselves and the help that we need in our own lives, in our own ministries, in our own struggles, is that we need to ask. But, you know, it's funny because we get into situations where we get a little timid in asking. You've heard this before, I'm sure. I hear it all the time. I would have asked, but I know that there's others in better, bigger needs than I. And God doesn't care who has a bigger need or not. All he wants is that you bring your need to him. And we need to be humble about that in bringing our needs to God. I went through a very difficult time last year. I was ministering on the street to a lady. She had just lost her housing. She was, you know, in her late 60s. And she was living on Social Security. And the Social Security, she had paid too much, so the government garnished her wages, took her Social Security away. And she lost her housing for that. And she's on the street with me, and she's crying, Phil, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. Can you help me? I said, man, I do my financial assessments on Sunday. If you come in, we'll see what we can do. And we prayed, and we left. And Saturday, I get a call from the Olympia Police Department, saying that they found a lady who had died and that the only identification she had was my card. And it messed with me. I know that God gives us all the time. But for me, I'm thinking I could have put her in a motel. I had the availability to put her in a motel that night, and now I'm getting this report, and it just... Man, and a day later, I get a call from a guy on the phone. And this guy says, Phil, you helped me a lot, and I just want to say everything that you ever did for me was great, but my time is up. Boom. And I'm the phone goes dead. And this 2 days after this lady had died, and then this guy commits suicide, and it's just messing with my head. These are things that, you know, we look at all the blessings that the ministry does, but inside there's things in the ministry that no one knows about. And I'm thinking, Lord, I didn't sign up for this. And I had to get away, and I left. I told my wife, man, I'm just going to find a beach. I went to Woodby Island, and I get on the beach, and I walk on this beach, and I'm walking for about 3 or 4 miles on this beach, and I'm man, there's no footprints on this beach. There's no sign of man on this beach, and I'm walking, and I'm praying alone with the Lord. And I fall asleep, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up on this beach, freezing. I was just frozen, thinking, what am I doing out on this beach? I got a motel to stay in. What am I doing here? And it was dark, and I didn't know if the tide had come up, and I didn't know if I could get back to my car. I just prayed, and I heard the Lord just speak in my heart, you're right where you're supposed to be, Phil. Oftentimes when we go into hard times, God requires us to believe. He requires us to ask. He requires us to trust. And he requires us to obey in every area of our life. This lady came to Elijah believing in God, asking for help, trusting in him to obey. She didn't have anything. She just lost her husband. She was about to lose her kids. God, I know, multiplies the needs of our lives, our ministries, as we turn our lives over to Him and ask and trust and obey in the principles of what He is all about in this world. And if He wasn't there for us, man, if it isn't that of God, then none of the pots of oil would have been filled. There would have been no multiplication. If we didn't come to Him with the 5 small barley loaves or biscuits and 2 fish, 5,000 people wouldn't have been fed, right? If we didn't come to Him, the miracles of God would not happen. But in every case, we come to God and God does the things that are impossible. Impossible. He says in His words, if you remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted to you. John 15:7. Love that scripture. The question is, are we going to Him? Are we going to Him with everything? The limitation was not in the supply of oil, but in the lack of empty vessels. When I got back from my week alone with God, I was refreshed to know that there were 4 people while I was gone that received housing. And in that, the furniture ministry loaded everything that they needed, from beds to dressers to pictures to shower curtains, food, detergents, filled the house 4 times in a week. Results is our last word, our next word, I should say. From our outward expression of faith to our inward expression of love, for God comes results. The lady was outwardly expressing her need, and she had to go out into the community to collect the jars, the vessels that would bless her. But inwardly, she was told to shut the door, and the miracle happened behind closed doors. In verse 6, 4, and 6, then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons, pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it into one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another. But he replied, there's not a jar left. And then the oil stopped. The oil stopped flowing. You know, I have been trying to outgive God for about 15 years now. And it's not working. Every time I try and outgive God, He brings more stuff. He brings more stuff. You know, we do an outreach at Albertsons every year. And we're at Albertsons from November to December, 7 days a week, 8 hours a day, asking people to support the ministry, to support families in need. And this year, over 12,000 pounds of food was delivered to the ministry after the fundraiser. And in addition, over 15,000 items were purchased and put into baskets, which has allowed us to now sustain families that either are going to buy diapers or pay rent. See, we live in a society right now where the economy does not fit the pay or the employment that is being used right now. We're short. With the high rises of apartment costs, we don't make enough money to pay our rent. So where we come in and bring in these resources, these commodities, now we can level out that financial burden for these families that are trying to make ends meet. Now we can give them the food, and we can give them the diapers and the toilet paper and detergents and all the products that they don't get with their food stamps. And it helps them level out their financial burden. And our objective right now is to work with families that are using the commodities that are coming in, because if they have commodities coming in financially, now we can say, okay, if we're giving your family, single woman of five right now I'm working with, she's been sewing into the ministry for about a year and a half now. We just recently gave her one of our mobile homes, which was donated to the ministry, and we used it as a local missions project to allow the churches to come in and fix it all up. And when it was all fixed up, we gave it to her. But in giving it to her, there's a requirement. Just like this lady had a requirement, didn't she? The widow had a requirement. She had to go get the jars, right? And for this lady, the requirement is that you save 3 months' worth of lot space. The mobile home's in an estate, free and clear, but she does have to pay for the lot space, which is under $500. But as she's getting all our products, she's got her job, she's got her security now, she's able to save 3 months' worth of rent for the mobile home, and when she saves that 3 months, we'll sign the title of the mobile home to her, and she'll own it. This will be the 9th mobile home that we've done this with in our community. And it's so great to see when you get to sit down with the landlord and the new owner of their home, which, you know, most of us have never really had a chance to have a home given to us, right? And she signs the title over to her, knowing that she has 3 months security held for rent just in case she loses her job or gets hurt or something happens. It's an awesome program, and we are so blessed for that extension of God's grace to be able to do that. And overall, it's helping sustain lives, but more than that, it's bringing the body of Christ together. So far, over 15 churches have joined together to help build this mobile home into something. We're getting ready to do it again. And if you guys are interested in participating in that, if you know any kind of construction, last 2 months ago, we had kids from Living Water painting trim boards, you know, so it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. The closed door suggests the principle of privacy. What she did was to be done without distraction so she and her sons could focus on the Lord and set their hearts upon Him in faith. To be alone with God is one of the vital needs of any believer in any time. But it is especially true for today. Because in today's life, there's a lot of noises and a lot of distractions, isn't there? Furthermore, Elijah's absence from this woman when the miracle took place would demonstrate that the power came from God and not Elijah. And that's a big one for us. People want to give City Gates the credit for everything, and I always say no. God gets the glory. God gets the credit. And in fact, City Gates Ministries doesn't do anything without prayer. If you receive food from City Gates Ministries, the whole object of us delivering the food is to ensure that we get inside the house to pray. That's the only reason we deliver food, really. In fact, I tell my volunteers, my servants, hey, if you're not going to pray, don't deliver. As simple as that. Furniture ministry prays for those donating furniture, and they pray for those that are getting the furniture. And everybody on the street, we got, what, 5 trucks out on the street now? And so if you go to this truck to get socks, and you go to this truck to get dog food for your dog, and you go to the table to get food, well, you got prayed 3 times. And you'll probably get prayed again before you leave. So prayer is essential to everything that we do. Amen? Amen? When that day ended, there was a mother and some boys who had learned the valuable lesson. There in the privacy of that home, they learned that God was all-powerful and able to meet every need. Every need. And the neighbors would hear what God had done. And they would know everything that he did on an intellectual level. However, this family would know what God had done on a personal level. It was a public miracle that was done in the privacy of their hearts. And it's awesome that so many of the ministries out here are doing work that no one ever hears. No one hears about the miracles and the lives that are being transformed. They just do the work. Year in and year out, they do the work. I had the opportunity to go to Israel with Pastor Tim. And we met some missionaries. And I said, you know, you guys are in a crazy place, man. When we went over the border, it said, if you have anything to do with this border here, Israel, don't come over because your life's in danger. And we're going over and we're visiting this married couple. They even have kids. And they're setting up a church. And they're ministering to these kids and bringing these kids into the knowledge of the gospel in a way that I had never thought possible in a foreign country. I mean, I come from a country where I speak the gospel on a loudspeaker every day and nothing happens. My life's not in danger. And here this couple, they're doing this. And I said, man, you know, with what you do, how many people actually receive Christ in what you do? Their whole life is engaged in ministering to these kids to reach the parents for Christ. How many are getting saved? One came to the Lord last year. One. One. I look at the sacrifice that they did, that they do, and what they do with their putting their lives and their children at risk and everything that's going on. It's a different world out there. One. We got one saved. I say, man, this is your life. God will leave the 99 for the one, won't he? It was such an awesome description of humility toward God these people showed. Thank you, Tim, for allowing me to witness such miraculous people doing the work of God in such a crazy territory. And if you go with Pastor Tim, man, you know what? Make sure that you write down everything he talks about because he's a walking dictionary. We had so much fun out there. It was awesome. I hope I can go again someday. The takeaway today, and we'll close with this, for individuals. Elijah was a man who had a heart for serving others, whether wealthy or poor. If we go back right before Elijah was helping this widow, Elijah was helping kings. And he did not minister to people based on how they might promote him or provide for him. He was only concerned that people might know the experience and experience God's grace and the power of their lives. And often we will look at people that we are ministering to and people that we are trying to help and we'll get a, I don't know. And sometimes it's those people that become part of the ministries that we serve that are so dedicated. I served a guy that had schizophrenia. And he wasn't on his medicine when he came into the ministry, and he was sporadic. He was all over the place, man. He'd be right on target with one thing one day and off target the next day, and he got saved, and we were helping him out, and he got his medicine all straightened out and stuff, and I said, man, you know, he wants to do some things for the ministry. And I said, I don't know if I'd hate to have him have one of his episodes, and when we're helping somebody, you know, is kind of. And I, at that time, I had an administrator that was going to Bible college, and so she wasn't making a lot of money, and she called me for food. And I said, okay, you know, make a list. And she made a list. She was in her 60s, and so her list was very different from our list. And she wanted soy milk, and she wanted raspberry syrup, and she wanted, you know, gray herbal tea in organic flavors, and all this stuff. Like, you know, I mean, it was a list that was different than what normal lists are. We usually go for the cheapest and get the, you know, greatest commodity. And so this guy says, look, Phil, I got $200 that I want to just spend on somebody and help you out with. And so I said, okay, great. We'll go buy this lady some food. And I gave him the list, and we went into the store, and I could see him struggling. Phil, soy milk. We could buy 2 gallons of milk off this quart. So I said, yeah, but that's on the list. So, you know, let's just bless this lady. This is what she wants. And raspberry syrup, Phil, come on, man. That we can get maple syrup twice as much. And, you know, throughout the store, and he was putting in the cart, because I know this guy never had bought this kind of food before, the organic stuff, the healthy stuff. And he was struggling. He says, man, you know, okay. Went to the counter, and we paid for it, and we took it over to this lady's house, and we brought it into her name's Gail. We brought it into her house. And there were two things that happened this day. Number one, the humility that this man had to face in buying this stuff with his money and bring it to this lady. And we prayed. He'd never prayed before, but he did pray that day. And Gail was very grateful for the provision that she received. And we left. And I get a call from Gail about 10 minutes after we leave. And she's, Phil, so appreciate the food. It's going to be a great help. Thank you. I don't appreciate you bringing homeless people into my house, though. I said, Gail, he was the one that bought your food. And there was silence on the other end. You know, we never want to judge the book by the cover, do we? And I believe that day not only changed his life, but it also, I know, changed Gail's life. Because from that day forward, she served the ministry for just about 13 years before she retired. And she was always humble to everybody that we served. Everybody. Amen? Galatians says, and let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Amen. To the church, local bodies of believers have many needs, both spiritual and physical, both large and small. We believe in the world which is basically opposed to the work of God. We're living in some strange times right now. It's funny, my son told me the other day, he says, Dad, the hardest thing for my generation is that we grew up with the world in the palm of our hand. And in the palm of your hand, there's so many things you can believe in. You know, just Google it. But the problem we face is not in God's supply of the oil or in the people's ability to meet the needs. The real problem lies in our faith. because of technology, because of what we have in our hands, because of the things that we can go in and see and look at and dwindle in our obedience and submission, corporately and individually. We need to hold each other accountable. We need to be one with each other that will allow us to watch ourselves, be accountable to each other in the things of God. It says you're drifting. I haven't seen you for the last 3 weeks. Why? Where are you? We miss you at church. These kinds of things that we do as a body of Christ, fellowshipping together, strengthens us to go out and do the things that God would want us to do. It's interesting, and I am very blessed to be where I'm at in my life. I have a beautiful wife and wonderful kids that have never gotten in trouble. I have 3 grandkids right now that are just awesome. I mean, my life is perfect, you guys. But I was at Albertsons this year, and I had to run an 8-hour shift. My volunteers didn't show up, and I was complaining. Went in with an attitude, and I'm sitting in my car. I'm saying, God, you need to change my attitude because I don't want to go in here today. Although I was completely blessed, and I know how blessed I am, that attitude snuck in, you know? Just snuck in, and I just, stupid volunteers don't even show up, make me have to come into the store and work, you know, and I'm praying to God, Lord, you got to change this attitude, man, this is not good. And I go into the store, and I set up the table, and I'm working on the table and everything, and I start doing the community service, and a guy comes into the store, and he says, who runs this operation? I said, well, I guess I do. I call me the head gopher. He says, you run this operation? I say, yeah. He says, I want to have lunch with you. Can we do lunch? I say, well, if my volunteers show up. Ended up having lunch with this guy, and this guy was visiting and just passing through Olympia. He heard about City Gates Ministries in Pierce County, of all places. I don't know how. We don't do anything in Pierce County, but that's where he heard about us, and he looked us up on the internet and saw what we were doing, and then he was just passing through Albertsons to get a bottled water on his way to Vancouver to visit his family for Thanksgiving, and he says, I run a college in London, and every year we have the students pick 3 people. One for social services, one for legal services, governmental services, and one for just faith-based. He says, I'm going to put you in the pool, and if we put you in the pool, we'll invite you to London for these students to chaperone you for a week as they learn what they're doing in their education. And I'm thinking, well, that'll change anybody's attitude, you think? And I would ask that you pray for me because they picked City Gates Ministries to go to London, so I'll be going to London March 16th. And yeah, I know, thank God, huh? Is that awesome? Is that awesome? But I'm inside scared because honestly, you know, I'm not educated. And I'm going into this college where they have education. They're going to be asking me, where did you graduate? Well, you know, I made it through 10th grade. You know, and I'm intimidated by that. And my wife was saying, Phil, you need to humble yourself. This was God answering your prayer. And God is going to do mighty things with what you do in that week. And it's so awesome because I'll be staying in a dorm there, so I don't have to pay for anything. They got food, they got a kitchen, they got everything. And I'm just going to let them chaperone me around. They're going to take me to their police department, their social services. And there's actually a church in London called City Gates Church that is helping an organization with homelessness. So I, you know, it's such a great opportunity, but I'm not a traveler. I'm a homebody, you know? When I went to Israel, I was ready to come back the third day. I saw everything I thought I needed to see, and I missed my kids. But I'm excited about the opportunity. I would just ask that the church just lift that up. Lift my family up while I'm gone. And I would ask also that in this story that we have read today, that if there is anything that you are dealing with that you are not telling anybody about, that you would expose it. And that's scary sometimes, because sometimes we don't want to expose the needs or the things that we're dealing with in the fear of being judged. But I think that we are in a body here of believers that only want to love and extend God's grace and the ability to continue to build and influence and work. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the things that you do in our lives individually and corporately, Lord. Thank you that in everything that we have, you have purposed us specifically for something. Every single one of us has been purposed specifically to accomplish your will. And I pray in that we do not hold fast to those things that you have already commissioned us to do, that we don't question what you have already called our hearts to do. It isn't about age. It isn't about education. It isn't about influence or prosperity. It's about my relationship with you and what I believe. And I pray that you extend our belief today further than it was when we came in here this morning. And through that, Father God, we will see your great works in action to change a city, to change a community, to change a nation, to change a world. And we thank you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Thank you so much for letting me share today.